I'd like to welcome you, Oya Kutsal, to the program. Thank you so much for making your way over here. I know it wasn't the easiest to find. Here we are in the Gleridis room of the Center of Visual Arts and Research, the Severides Foundation, which I'd like to thank for allowing us to use this space to record this podcast, Terra Nullius. Now, this is the first time we meet. I'm very excited because you were recommended to me by a good friend of ours, a common friend. Shout out to her. Thank you so much for introducing us. I have to be honest, I got onto Instagram and watched some of your videos. Now, I don't understand enough Turkish to know what you were talking about, but I was excited by your passion in your videos.
Thank you.
And I knew that I had to bring you here for you to tell me what it is you do, why you are making these videos, what are your main themes. Let's start there, and then we'll get to know you a bit better along the way, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Oya.
First of all, thank you very much for inviting me.
My pleasure.
Very excited to be here, and also it's the first time I have been to Severides Foundation. It's an amazing place.
It is.
I will promote it.
You'll have to do a video here.
Yes, of course.
Excellent.
It's amazing museum. Yes, actually, I am a retired English teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I taught at a public school for 35 years.
How can you have been teaching for 35 years? You look 35. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Unfortunately, people are only listening, but I can tell you that Oya is beautiful. She's young looking. Well done. And you were teaching children, which I know takes years from your life. So
Yes. I was teaching teenagers.
Wow.
I got retired because during the pandemic, mm-hmm. I was working as a volunteer at EVGAF.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I am
EVGAF, for those that don't know, is the Turkish Cypriot religious organization.
Yes.
Kind of like the Greek Cypriot Archiepiscopi, like the equivalent, for religious affairs, properties, mosques.
Yes.
Yeah.
When the president was appointed for the job, mm-hmm. he thought he would come from America and he will create the sense of charity.
Mm-hmm.
But when he comes to Cyprus, he sees that foundation, the only thing the foundation does is estate.
Okay.
So he tried to find people from different regions mm-hmm. to provoke that charity concept. So they found me in Kayabinya, mm-hmm. and I started working for them.
So with a focus on turning EVGAF into a more charitable organization.
Yes.
Not just an estate ownership. Okay, interesting.
Definitely.
Wow, interesting.
But we had a great president, and mm-hmm. we adored him, so mm-hmm. we worked so hard for him. During the pandemic, I was so tired because mm-hmm. I was responsible for whole Kayabinya.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to feed people.
Mm-hmm.
I think differently from other people.
Mm-hmm.
When there is a crisis, social crisis, like pandemic,
mm-hmm.
I thought these people are confined in their homes. There are many students from Africa, other countries. There are many workers. If they don't find food, mm-hmm. what are they going to do? They will break into shops.
Yeah.
So I tried my best to feed them and not to cause any social crisis.
It's interesting you say that because we tend to look after our own type, our own community, but we forget the students, the foreign workers. During the pandemic, these were the people that suffered the most because they were left without their family, without their support structure.
No banks.
Yeah, and no banks, nothing.
No banks, they had no money.
Yeah.
So I was so tired. And I had to retire.
Okay.
I couldn't go back to school.
Yeah.
Because then I kept working for EVGAF.
Mm-hmm.
And charity is not the only thing
mm-hmm.
we do. Anything concerning related to humanity mm-hmm. and society, like environment, like historical monuments.
Mm-hmm.
My main interest is historical documents.
Mm.
They are in a mess.
Well, it's interesting to hear because I know that the Ottoman documents were meant to be amongst the best in the world, no?
Mm-hmm.
But they were a mess in Cyprus.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. All the historical the monuments are in mess.
Mm-hmm.
The sheep are In the historical monuments, mm-hmm. they use it at a garbage place,
yep.
and it makes me sad. So I tried, I started by trying to create awareness.
Interesting.
And I have been doing that since 2016.
So basically what you're saying is that you go to a site where there's an archaeological ruin or a monument or a temple or something, and you make your videos.
Yes.
And you talk about what people are seeing here, what it is. And then because awareness is raised, people may pay attention to it. Perhaps contribute to cleaning it up or preserving it at least.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, that's it's something that I'm very interested in and I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
I do a little Cyprus pop quiz on my Facebook where I go to different monuments across the island, all the way from the north to the south, and I'll take some photos and I'll do a pop quiz, like, you know, where is this? What's it so important? And I give some clues, like, this is where the king did this, or this is where this saint is said to have lived, or this is where the Ottoman had a battle here, or whatever.
Yeah,
you know? Because this island is covered in historic monuments. Unfortunately, both Greek and Turkish Cypriot communities not only have a disrespect for the other community's monuments, I'm surprised at the disrespect for our own monuments from our own intra-community.
Yeah.
So I was fascinated by your videos because it's not just about Greek Cypriot ruins or Turkish Cypriot ruins or temples. I think even you're a bit of environmental awareness, like with the rubbish and whatever.
Yes.
You know, there's not enough people on this island that care for our history, for our ancestors' assets.
Yeah, because of the educational system.
Is that the educational system?
Of course. I mean, at school, they never taught me about the historical monuments of Cyprus.
Interesting.
Still like that.
I know that in the Greek Cypriot community, they get an education on key major monuments in the north. So all the Greek Cypriot children know Kyrenia Harbour and the castle. They know Apostolos Andreas. They know
Centenarion.
They know these key Belabais.
Yes.
But some of these children, let's say they're in Limassol, don't know about the castle in Limassol and why it's so important. They don't know about the archaeological ruins in Giti Larnaca. I mean, it's one thing to learn about what they say they lost, or that's on the other side, but they forget what's in their own backyard.
Is it the same here?
It's the same here.
Why is it so?
I think there's a fear of tackling history education. They're scared that if I talk to you about history, I will have to discuss all history. If I talk to you about the ancient Byzantine churches, I will also have to talk to you about the Ottoman mosques.
Yes.
If I talk to you about the French castles, I have to talk to you about the Venetian castles. Now, some of them are in the north, some are in the south.
Yes.
Salamis is an ancient Greco-Roman city, but it has the exact same history, or the same people built it that built Kurion in Limassol.
Yes.
And we don't want to talk about monuments that are shared across the divide. So we tend to avoid all history education and we focus on an ethnocentric Greek only, Turkish only history.
That's very interesting. I had never thought like that. I said, why is it so? Because at school, the child doesn't learn about historical monuments. He grows up, he becomes a minister of tourism, you know, and he doesn't know anything.
No, it surprises me because I have been in Cyprus now 17, 18 years this year. And when I came, I knew the major sites, the big ones that everyone knows, you know, like Kurion and the walls of Nicosia, Kyrenia Harbour. I was bedazzled by all the microsites across the island.
Yeah.
Even in Famagusta, like the walled city of Famagusta, there are hundreds of places inside this one space.
Yes.
And people don't know it. And I would take foreigners for tours and I'll walk them through all these different places from Bafos to Famagusta, Kyrenia to Larnaca to Limassol to Morpho. I'll take them everywhere. And they're amazed. Like, there's so much history in such a small place. When I have Cypriots with me, they're like, what? I didn't know we had this. I didn't know we had that. Mm-hmm. I never saw this before. Is that what that pile of bricks are? Is that what that wall is? Or the ancient aqueducts? Like, okay, I'll give you another example about misrepresented history. We have aqueducts across the island. Yes. Some of the most famous are the Gamares in Larnaca.
Yes.
They were built by the Ottomans.
Yes.
There's some in near the Erjan airport. There's some
yes.
There are aqueducts everywhere. And a lot of Greek Cypriots call them Roman or Greco aqueducts. And they're not. they were built by the Ottomans. I mean, the Ottomans didn't just come to Cyprus, have a holiday and leave.
Yeah.
They built things as well.
Yeah.
And this is the tangible evidences of these previous rulers of the island. We also had, of course, British monuments that were built. I mean, like the law courts at Sarai Square.
Yeah.
This is a British building. The Phanaromeni Girls' School next to Phanaromeni Church. This is a British building. Now, when you look at it, there's the Corinthian Greek columns, and everyone thinks it's Greek. But this was built by the British.
Yes.
And the British builder using Greek architecture because they had this fascination with ancient Greece.
Yes.
And the only part of Greece they had was Corfu. So Cyprus for the British was the next best thing. Yeah. So they did a lot of investing in building public buildings with Greek architecture, which, as we know, the Cypriots, Greek and Turkish Cypriots, didn't traditionally build in Greek architectural styles, apart from the ancient Greeks, like, you know, when we go to Kurion and Salamis, that's different. But the last 1,000 years, we've been building according to who has been ruling the island.
Mm.
So we have Venetian architecture, Frankish architecture, British architecture, Ottoman architecture. Mm. I mean, obviously, in Nicosia, we have so much and in Kyrenia, so many Venetian monuments. But when the British came, there was this revival of Greek architecture. And I think whether they liked it or not, they contributed to this Greek identity that a lot of Greek Cypriots had. And today I hear people pointing at schools going, this school is a Greek school because it has columns. It's like, no. Mm-hmm. It is in the Greek Cypriot community, but it was built by the British. You know, and it's fascinating to see how people forget that so many people have come and gone from these islands.
Yes.
And there's so many different people still on the island.
Yes.
We talk about the Greek and Turkish Cypriot communities. Mm-hmm. We sometimes mention the Maronite, Latin, Armenian communities, but it's not just them.
No.
We have so many Nigerians, Cameroonians, Filipinos, Sri Lankan, Russians, Israeli, Palestinian, Lebanese. We've got so many people.
Yeah.
In the South, I can talk about the statistics in the South, 23% of the population is non-Greek Cypriot.
Oh, my God.
1 in 4 people.
Uh-huh.
I mean, some people are excited by this. Some people are scared by this. In the North, we know it's more sensitive to discuss the population breakdown, but depending who you ask, we have sometimes up to 100,000 students from third countries.
Yeah.
The population in the North, if we're to be fair, is about 350,000, I think.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows officially. Yeah, yeah. But as a guesstimate, an educated guess, they say around 350,000. So when you have 100,000 students, this is 1 in 4 people that are not Cypriot. Then in this 350,000, there's also the debate, you know, how many are Turkish Cypriot, how many are Turkish, how many are mixed. This is another contribution. So we don't realize that this island is so multicultural.
Yes.
And so historical. Mm-hmm. And for this, it is invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
Invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, as you mentioned, we not only don't know all the other communities and their relics, we don't understand our own relics. Tell me, what are some of the sites that have impressed you the most?
You know, I introduced Aios Fanourios the other day.
In Nicarinia, in St. George, Aios Yorgos area.
The
cave by the sea.
Yes. I went there. I didn't know what was so important about it, but it's a historical thing, so I wanted to introduce it. It's in Kyrenia, and many people don't know about it. But do you know that there is 1 million year old
Bones.
Bones, hippopotamus bones there.
Left there, uncovered,
unprotected.
Unprotected, yes.
Unprotected.
It's interesting because my family is from near there. And I was Fanurios, Saint Fanurios. Mm. He's meant to be the saint that helps you find things.
Yes, okay? Yes.
So often before the war, my family will go to this cave and make a prayer, whatever, to find the love or to find happiness or to find the keys to their car,
and
whatever.
Okay. Every year on the 27th of August, they come.
And they have
as
a service.
Yeah.
Now, there's a little chapel, modern chapel above, but the main thing is the cave. Now, the cave is actually, if I understand correctly, it's originally a Greco-Roman tomb. Like it was a tomb. Mm. Mm. That's what I heard. And then it was repurposed as a chapel hundreds of years ago. Mm. Now, the ancient people of the area, those bones, they used to hunt pygmy hippopotamus and pygmy elephant, which a lot of people don't know. Cyprus was full of these animals.
Yes, yes.
But we Cypriot barbecued them to death. we made them extinct because we were eating them.
Oh my God.
Were slow, they were big, they were good meat, good fat, keeping you healthy, alive. So they would use this cave to cook these animals, and the bones they would throw outside, okay?
Oh.
So over the years, some of these bones are on the surface, invisible.
Yeah.
The Greek Cypriots saw these bones, and they thought they were the bones of a saint.
Yes, yes.
So these elephant bones, pygmy elephant bones, became known as the saints' bones. Yeah. But it's not just there. There's another place, Nibrotaras. Ayis Arandi.
Yes.
And not many people realize, but when you go up the staircase and you look at the steps, there are bones in the steps.
Yeah.
And again, they said Ayis Arandi, which means the Holy 40, because they said it was the bones of 40 saints.
Oh.
So either the pygmy elephants and hippopotamuses were saints, or we just have a lot of Cypriots eating and barbecuing animals and not getting rid of the bones properly.
But people like legends.
They love legends. They and look, that's culture. That's culture. I mean, like, we all know a lot of things are myth and mythology, you know, but it's fascinating. But the coming back to Agios Fanurios, I know they built a hotel next door in the old olive oil factory or something. I
think. Yes. It belonged to Severis.
It did. It belonged to the family. I think they saved the chimney of the factory, but the rest of the building, unfortunately,
it
was very sad because that really could have been repurposed.
Yes.
They could have used that building to make such a cultural sense. Still, it could have been a hotel, but it could have used the architecture, historic architecture.
Yes.
I'm glad the cave is still safe for now, but if you notice just a bit next to it, the rocks are collapsing, which is nature. Nature's taking the rocks away.
Yes.
But the minute they build more buildings, I fear that this cave will be lost forever.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, don't hope anything. Okay. Yes, it will.
and this is one of thousands of places across the whole island that are being lost. There is a place in Avdimu in the south.
Yes.
There's a little Mesjid mosque, very small mosque. So it's a beach, it's untouched beach, no hotels, nothing.
Mm.
And there's just one little mosque because at this point, it's where the Mamelukes, the Egyptian Ottomans, they attacked Cyprus from this beach. And at that spot, the Ottomans built a little mosque and then modern Turkish Cypriots made a little concrete mosque.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it just sits there, forgotten, next to the beach. No one recognizes it. No one knows it's there. And it always reminds me of Agios Fanurios. Like one little forgotten monument in the south, one little forgotten monument in the north, you know. And we need to really protect and highlight these places. Tell me another place that you've visited that you...
I was in Gagobatria
on
Thursday. I introduced... I did not introduce. I talked about... about legends.
Uh-huh.
How it got its name. Gagobatria.
I think I know the story, but you tell us the story.
I heard three stories about it.
For sure. Minimum three.
One is there was a noble... peasant who had three sons, Nikos, Panayotis, and Petris.
Okay.
Petris was such a bad, terrible boy, and everybody hated him. Sorry. Even the brothers, they were fed up with him, and they go and tell their father, please, send him away. So the father takes him to a place behind the mountains, to a rocky place. And Petris stay there on his own. And by time, he establishes a village there, and he gives his name, Gago Petris.
So Bad Petris. Yeah. I've never heard this version of the story.
I
wow, okay.
It. And there is another story that innumerated couples used to love to sit on a rock and talk.
Yeah.
And one day the rock moves and kills a couple.
So there was a bad rock. Gago Petris. Yeah.
And the other one is just because of the geographical position. Gago.
That it's bad rocks in this area. So
yes.
Probably the truth is that there's bad rocks in this
area.
Yes. I mean, I hope the story of the father letting go of his child is not true. I hope.
Yeah.
But then I also hope that a newlywed didn't get that.
Panayotis establishes Gallo Panayotis.
That's true.
And Nikos.
Okay.
And Ikos.
Okay. I never heard that story. So Gago Petria is from Petris, the bad.
Yes.
And then Gallo Panayotis, so Panayotis, the good.
Yes.
And then Ikos from Nikos.
Yes, okay. yes, three brothers.
Interesting. I'll have to check. I have an uncle from Ikos. I will have to ask him.
Ask him.
He probably doesn't know. But
also, I don't know if it is the same here in the south, but in the north, we eliminate good people.
What do you mean by not kill? You mean...
No, I mean, we isolate them as if they don't exist, like historical monuments.
Okay.
So... suddenly, unexpectedly, I learn about these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I find them.
Interesting.
I find them. I call them. You know how happy they feel?
That they're given some attention, that they're... That's what I like to believe I'm doing with this podcast, finding people that, okay, someone like yourself, you're on social media, people are aware of you, but there's a lot of people out there that are doing amazing things,
yes,
but they're not heard from.
Yes.
And I mean, I'll use this opportunity, if anybody wants to recommend somebody that needs to be exposed, please contact me.
Yes.
But Cyprus is full, I mean, we sit here and criticize Cyprus all the time. We always do. Me and you, we both do it.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of good people here.
Yes.
And there are a lot of good people working against a very hard system that punishes good behavior, that punishes civil society, that punishes success.
Yes.
So it's good to bring these people out.
Yeah.
If anything, to inspire others.
Yes.
You know, here's an opportunity to see that what you're doing is appreciated.
Yes.
And there are other people maybe doing the same thing. You can work together or they can be inspired to copy you in a good way. Like, you know, to do
of
things.
Of course.
Yeah. Like, going around and highlighting all these sites makes people appreciate them.
Yes.
They're more likely to preserve them. They're more likely to insist on their not to destroy them, to restore them.
Of course. Because you protect only something you know.
Mm.
If you don't know, how are you going to protect?
Yeah, it's interesting. There was in Hirokitiam, there's the ancient Neolithic settlement there. It's a World Heritage Site. Mm. But a lot of people don't know that just downhill from the village, in the fields, there are stones everywhere, okay? Mm-hmm. Square, rectangle stones, man-made, hand-cut stones scattered in the fields.
Mm.
Most people, farmers, they pick them up and they push them to the side and they farm their fields.
Mm.
What a lot of people don't realize is that that is the ruins of some palatial palaces and complex that was, again, it's the Mamluks. I mean, today's about rubbishing of the Mamluks, but the Mamluks attacked Hirokitia and it was a feudal French kingdom at the time in that area. Mm. And so the palace was destroyed.
Mm.
And all the stones to this day, 1,000 years later, are still in the fields, you know, and there's one arch, which must have been a stable or something in the medieval period. It's sitting there forgotten. In the fields, somebody's using it to store bags, you know.
Is it island psychology?
Sorry?
Is there anything like that? I mean, because nobody sees us. Nobody cares about
us. We have 1 million tourists every year. They see us. You know,
but this psychology in our genes. DNAs.
You know, I hear a lot of people talk about island syndrome, but I don't see it in other islands. I don't see it on some Greek islands. I don't see it in Malta. I didn't see it in Sicily, Crete. I mean, like...
So, vision.
It's vision. I think, unfortunately, in Cyprus, we also have to face some realities. The division of the island and the conflict, I think, made people focus only on certain things.
Yes.
So, let's talk about the Bicommunal Technical Committee for Heritage.
Yeah. Okay.
Cultural heritage. They're fixing mosques, churches. They're fixing walls and aqueducts and mills. And they're doing all this amazing work, but they face two things. One, there's a lot of people that are upset that, you know, why are you spending money? This is Greek Cypriots will say, why are you spending money fixing a mosque? And the Turkish Cypriot, why are you spending so much money and effort to fix a church? You know, like, they don't live here anymore. You don't need to fix the church.
But it's history.
But I think when you talk to everybody on the ground one by one and you have a calm conversation and you talk to them and you say, isn't it good to protect our history? Do we just want to be a concrete jungle modern city with no history? You know, these are architectural wonders. They're beautiful buildings. And even if they're not beautiful, they are historic. They mean so much to our history and our future, because without our past, we have no future.
Definitely.
You know? And it's not about Greek versus Turkish Cypriots. It's not.
No.
It's about preserving our Cypriot common heritage.
Also, it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to
it belongs to
humanity.
Our children and their children.
Humanity.
And actually, no, you're right. It belongs to the entire world.
The world, of course.
Yeah.
The historical thing in Egypt belongs to me as well.
Yes, 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 yeah.
So we have to care about all the monuments.
Exactly. This is a common humanity. We all have interacted one way or another in the past, and we will in the future. And it's important that we do share.
The pandemic showed us, I mean.
The pandemic showed us that.
A parasite in China came down here.
You remember the movie Independence Day with the UFOs, the aliens coming and attacking Earth? And all of a sudden, the whole planet is working together to kill the aliens?
Yes.
You know, for me, this was the pandemic. It was suddenly we had a common enemy across the world. Now, how we reacted is that's another argument, another discussion, another podcast. But we saw for the first time, maybe since World War, that the whole world cooperated on something.
Yes.
Okay, in World War, they weren't cooperating. I should correct myself. Half the world was cooperating and against the other half that was cooperating. But with the pandemic, we kind of all cooperated. And we realized that we all share this space. And what's this space? This little floating marble in the abyss.
Yes. Right?
And Cyprus is much like planet Earth in the dark space. Cyprus is this small island. It's a dot on the planet. It's 0.02% of the European economy. I mean, it's tiny. But as tiny as it is, I don't want to use the word insignificant because that's not fair. But as small as we are, we have such a incredibly wealthy history. So much has happened on this island that's related to everything around us.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have Turkey, Lebanon, the Levant, Egypt, Greece. You know, you can't have all these places without some interaction with Cyprus.
Mm.
I mean, we were the center of the world and we were also the speed bump of the world. You know, like everyone wanted to own this place because it helped control the world around us. So we should appreciate a little bit as well that in our insignificance, we are also the thorn in the lion's foot, you know?
Definitely.
And I think Brussels has realized that Cyprus is the thorn. But look, I want to know, so I realized that you do a lot of videos across the island.
Yes.
At the moment, you're only doing it in Turkish, right? In the Turkish language.
Yes.
Yeah. It's I asked you just before we started why you don't do it in English, and I thought you
I know, and I mean next week you are gonna have an amazing video that I made in Kakobetria.
Yep, I'm looking forward to this.
I must definitely translate it into English.
It's interesting. I wonder if there's a way to do it where maybe with subtitles. I don't know how easy it is. I mean, I'm not a technical expert,
yeah.
But maybe subtitles. Because, look, I always think it's a shame for a big part of the population to miss out on something.
Yes.
Now, either you're a Greek speaker or a Turkish speaker, but sometimes we can't listen to each other's things, okay? Now, okay, not everybody speaks English, but more people speak English than speak Greek or Turkish. So your video should remain in Turkish. It's the language of the Turkish Cypriots, of course. But it would be good to see English translations, because not just for the Greek Cypriots, but for the Turkish Cypriots of the UK.
Yes.
There's more there than in Cyprus.
Yeah, you know, like, definitely.
And a lot of them don't speak Turkish. So it would be good for them. But of course, I know it's not going to be easy to do subtitles. It would take a lot of time.
But I will. I will. I have to. I felt that. Because, I mean, in the beginning, only Turkish Cypriots used to watch my videos. Mm-hmm. But now I realize that Greek Cypriots are also interested.
Yeah.
So I must do it. But it's so hard, Costa. It's so hard.
No, look, where there's a will, there's a way.
Yes.
The more popular you become, hopefully somebody will offer their services to translate and subtitle for you.
Yes, like, hopefully. Hopefully.
You never know. I mean, like, it happens. It happens. I mean, people do notice important things.
But nowadays, there are very few volunteer people. Is it like that? I mean, for example, whatever I do for my country, I never accept any money.
Okay.
Okay, I do it with all my money, with all my possibilities and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Who will offer me making the translations?
Who knows? I don't understand Turkish well enough to do it for you.
Yeah. So,
look, if there's somebody out there that knows Turkish and is willing to translate into English, please speak up. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
What? How can people find you? What's your Instagram name?
Oya Kutsal.
Oya, OyaKutsal. Oya Kutsal. You can find her on Instagram. She does these amazing videos. I mean, for now, they are in Turkish. But, you know, visually, they're good for anybody. You understand what she's showing you.
Yes.
I must admit, a few of your videos, I was looking at what you were wearing, and I'm thinking, she's going to get dirty. She's like, she's so well dressed that she's gonna get dirty, but no, I love it. I think it's fun. Who does the videoing?
I have always been in contact with young people.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe that's why I look young.
Maybe.
All my friends are younger than 30.
Okay. Wow.
So they're
the ones doing the videoing for you.
Yes.
Because I thought maybe she has a husband and he's following her and the poor guys.
No. I have Esra.
Yeah.
She is from Turkey.
Okay, yeah.
She's my son's girlfriend.
Okay, yeah.
So
she's helping you.
Yes, and she's very clever. She develops herself.
Interesting. So tell me, let's go away from the videos for a second. Tell me, where were you born?
I was born in Nicosia, in the old town, opposite Mevlevi Tekkesi.
Okay, where the swirling dervishes come from.
Yes.
Konya. They come from Konya, once a year?
Yes,
We
had Shamishiji Abdullah. You know that.
I know him.
But you don't know Gosta.
No,
You can't be a Greek if you don't know Gosta.
No, I don't know. Remind me his name again. Gosta.
Kostas Voutsas, the famous Greek actor.
Maybe I do if I see the face.
And when I was in primary school, I had to be in bed by 8 sharp. But when Gosta was on,
you could stay.
Of course. My parents used to see it and they used to translate for us. And the next day at school, do you remember what Gosta did?
Which school did you go to?
I went to girls' school in Nicosia.
Which one?
Kız Lisesi.
Where is it? Is it near where you live, where you were born?
Yes, very near.
Is it still there?
Yes, but it changed.
Okay, it's mixed. No.
Then my father was the first police officer who was sent to Kayarinya.
Ah.
So we moved to Kayarinya.
And that's where you stayed since?
Yes.
Do you feel Nicosian or do you feel Kayarinyan now?
Now Kayarinyan.
Yeah. It's a beautiful place. Nicosia has got a lot of history and has got a lot of cultural happenings, let's say. Mm. But Carinya, like any coastal city, like whether it's Larnaca or Carinya, whatever.
Life is slow in Carinya, slower actually.
It was. I think it's getting faster now.
I mean, the traffic is terrible.
It's insane.
It's awful. There are too many buildings. Mm. But still for us, for the natives, It's a slow life.
Do you feel, knowing that there were once a lot of Greek Cypriots in Carinya, Do you feel their absence? Do you feel that? Or I know it's a sensitive question, but like sometimes when I'm in Larnaca or Limassol and I see a mosque or I see the old Ottoman houses, I feel the absence of Turkish Cypriots.
Greek politicians told you not to forget.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Our politicians said, forget the past.
Yeah.
So we forgot about the past.
That's why I understand that with the Turkish Cypriots, it was all about moving forward, the success, the salvation.
That's why we are more, I mean, open to negotiations. Because they told us to forget about the past, and we forgot.
It's interesting. Do they not talk about the bloody Christmas of 1963? Do they not talk about all these, like the babies in the bath in Dereboyu? It's not something that's...
The young people have no idea about.
They don't. This is also sad though, because it's not positive history, but you should know it. Like that some atrocities happened on both sides. You know?
But our children grew up with ETs. I mean, they are, many people from Turkey, from Arabic countries. So if you are Greek or not, I mean, it doesn't matter for them.
Yeah, well, that's a positive side. I mean, I do find that, with the Greek Cypriot community, there is I don't forget, thanks, I don't forget. And that's what I was saying before about they know all the monuments from the north, because on their school books, the front page of the school books has pictures from the north.
Yeah.
I think, hear me out for a second. You say that you're told to forget the past and move forward.
Yeah.
But part of your videos is to remember the history in the past, these monuments. You see how sometimes we want to remember the past, sometimes we want to forget the past. I always say we should know the past, all of it, even the bad things, even the things we don't agree with. Yeah. Like a lot of people, I'll speak for the Greek Cypriots now. A lot of Greek Cypriots don't know or don't want to discuss atrocities that Greek Cypriots did to Turkish Cypriots.
Yeah.
This has to be discussed. This has to be mentioned. Yeah. This has to be known. We're not trying to blame anybody. We're not trying to punish anybody. That was 50 years ago.
Maybe we should apologize to each other.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And it's a two-way street. It's not one to the other. It has to be two ways.
Mm-hmm.
This common apology between each other is needed.
Yeah. Because to say forget, you are like trees. I am like a tree without roots.
Yes. Yeah.
So without roots, I forgot about my roots. It's not a happy position in life.
And look, and it's okay to be a new Carinian, let's say. Like, you're a Carinian, Turkish Cypriot Carinian from after 74. Mm-hmm. This is okay. You live there now. That's the reality. There are some people from the south that were from the north, that were Carinian born. They have roots, like you said, in Carinya.
Yeah.
But they're growing a tree now in the south.
Yeah.
That tree, you say, doesn't have roots.
Roots.
They're making roots. Like, my family's from the north. We now live in the south. I'm making roots here in the south.
Yeah.
I recognize my roots in the north.
Yeah.
I see things a little bit different. Like, I never lived there myself. I never experienced it. Mm. So it's my inherited memory. And
it makes a difference.
Yeah, passion. It's unfortunate a lot of people didn't go home and a lot won't make it home. We know this is reality. It's 50 years. People don't live to 1,000 years.
Yeah.
They live 100 years. Okay. A lot of people won't go home. But the ability to apologize to each other, allow interaction, allow people to live together, whatever the solution is, I'm not going to tell you what the solution is. I'm not going to reunify the island right now. But the ability to at least interact, engage, communicate, cooperate, it's only going to benefit everybody.
Of course.
And like you said, the younger generation I've seen this in Turkish Cypriot kids. They don't care if you're Greek or Turkish. They don't care if you're Turkish Cypriot or Turkish. They don't
but
care
Greek,
if you.
Greek kids are not like that. They are still, I think, provoked.
They are provoked.
Yeah.
They are. There are stories that are told to them in certain ways that don't allow room for interaction, let's say. Yeah. Although I do believe it's changing because they are living now with, you know, tens of thousands of Syrians. They're living with tens of thousands of Southeast Asians. They are seeing Turkish Cypriots now. I mean, for the last 20 years, we've had gates open. They are seeing. They're seeing Turkish Cypriots with their eyes. They're seeing their cars in the parking lot at the mall. You know, so many of them are going to the north to see their family villages or just go for a walk. Whatever. Interaction is happening. So no matter what the adults teach them, they are seeing it for themselves. And this is the difference. When the gates were closed, you could say whatever you like. Nobody could counter.
Yeah.
But Cyprus in the last 50 years, the south has become so much more multicultural.
Yeah.
I think that Turkish Cypriots now for the Greek Cypriots is just one other player in the population.
Yeah.
the same in the north. I mean, we have so many people in the north that are not Turkish Cypriots.
Yeah.
What would it be if some Greek Cypriots joined that mix?
Yeah.
You know, pick up and move on. I mean, they live together in London or Melbourne. Fine. Why not here, you know?
Of course.
But it comes back to what we were saying earlier, that if a Greek Cypriot, for example, is going to live in Karinia, he needs to be able to go to Ayos and Fanurios and make his prayer if he wants. Or if you want to go live in, a Turkish Cypriot wants to go live in Limassol, he needs to go to the mosque in the town and if he's religious, you know, like it needs to be made available to people, the freedom.
Of course.
Freedom. That's all it is. It's just about freedom to live, let live, you know. Tell me, do you find when you're interacting with these sites that you visit, do you meet people that live there right next to it that are wondering what you're doing and why you're doing it? Like, do they come and say, what are you videoing? Why are you videoing?
No.
Because I do. When I go to places and I take photos or whatever, many times people will come to me and say, what are you doing? Why are you taking a photo of that? And I sit there and explain to the person that's living right next to this ancient site what is right next to their house. And they're like, really?
In the north or in the south?
Both. Like, amazed. They're like, you mean to tell me that this is such and such? And this was a Greco-Roman tomb. I just thought it was a cave. Or like, you know, like, but sometimes they're also suspicious. Like, you know, why are you photographing? Why are you interested? I think it's because it's such a novelty in Cyprus to see people interested in the sites.
But maybe you do it very seriously. I mean, your energy is different.
Maybe.
You are a thinker, you know, you think, you take. But me, nobody asks because I'm like a spoiled child.
You know, but that's the magic of your videos. Like you're really passionate, you're friendly, you're smiling, you're laughing.
I love it. So I run and oh, it's beautiful. Like that's all.
I'm telling you, you have to get English subtitles or something because
I will.
There must be a way. I don't know if Google YouTube translates automatically. I think
it does, but in a very funny way.
Actually, I was gonna say Turkish to English always is a mess.
It's a mess. Yes, I tried that. Oh my god, I said no.
Yeah.
No way. I mean, I will spare my time and do it. No problem.
Or at least. A couple of the sites in the north that the Greek Cypriots maybe don't have access to as much. Some of these maybe.
Babutsa. I made Babutsa. Was in English.
I didn't see that one. I have to see that one.
Yes, Babutsa was English subtitled.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I did it like that.
And how did that video make different numbers? Did it get a different reaction from the population?
Or? Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Turkish Cypriots are amazed because we always look down on ourselves. We say, I mean, nothing comes out of us.
Yeah.
Nothing comes out of us.
Yeah.
Good people are always
leaving
or they are isolated. So, but when they see that we are doing something, they feel so impressed.
Well, that's good. That's good. Oh, it's good to hear that there's a positive, because I think as well, I know the Greek Cypriots have an identity crisis, but they have the Republic of Cyprus.
Yes.
They have this international personality.
Yes.
And they can.
It makes a lot of difference.
Yeah, they can be Greek or they can be Cypriot. They can do both. With the Turkish Cypriots, I find that they don't have this strength of identity because, you know, the so-called TRNC is not internationally recognized, so there's no such country that they can be proud behind. Okay, they kind of want to call themselves Cypriots, but then the other Cypriots ignore them.
Yeah.
You know, so then they become Turkish, but then they're not.
It's like we are confined.
A rock in a hard place, as they say. You know.
So we develop a psychology that we are kings,
mm-hmm.
but actually we are not.
Yeah.
And yes, it creates a lot of pressure.
I heard from a few friends, Turkish Cypriots, that they feel, not so much the younger generation, but the middle to older generation, feel they're living on borrowed time. That they didn't achieve statehood, international statehood.
Mm.
They didn't achieve independence. They didn't achieve even an annexation of Turkey or whatever, but they didn't achieve a Cypriotness either.
Mm.
So they feel that it's just waiting for something to happen to define.
We just, let me tell you, we just flow.
Yeah.
Without hoping, thinking anything. We don't, the main problem is we don't feel we belong to somewhere.
Yeah.
That is the reason of the dirt, environmental garbage.
Mm-hmm.
That is the reason why we don't look after anything. That is the reason why we ruin the nature. That is the reason why we don't look for a solution, because we don't feel we belong.
That's interesting. And I mean, like, no matter who we're talking about, when you don't feel like you belong,
yes,
it cripples. It
of
cripples
course,
a community.
You build high, ugly, because they don't belong. The only thing that belongs to me is my house.
Yeah. And your car.
And your
I
car.
Noticed that the Turkish Cypriot cars,
mm.
I noticed that people are more willing to spend money on cars than the facades of their house or the neighborhoods. You know, and I was told again by somebody that they feel that no matter what happens, I can move with my car and take it with me.
Yes.
You know, and that's heartbreaking because regardless of your opinion on the results of 1974 and previous years, to live with this hesitation to what's coming tomorrow, if there's a solution or a settlement, must be crippling.
It
you know, you don't want to invest in your house. You don't want to build extra rooms. You don't want to build upstairs for your children because you wonder, am I going to be here tomorrow?
It affects.
And the same thing, a lot of people don't realize this, but the same thing's happening in the Greek Cypriot community where a lot of people didn't develop their houses or their neighborhoods because they said, I'm going to go back one day to Karinia or Karpasia. So they didn't put in money and invest and make their world amazing.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate, but I think this will change. And it's changing because there's more people like us that are speaking up, that are saying, look, here we are, it's the year 2024.
Yeah.
You know, we're moving forward. We want to live together. We want to live together or next to each other, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But we want to live in peace and prosperity.
Yeah.
That's the difference as well, because we can have peace.
Yes.
But we need to have prosperity as well. And we want to have health and wealth. And, you know, and so I think these are critical issues that little projects like highlighting sites help contribute to.
That's all I can do, you know.
And it's not all you can do. It's, you're doing a lot.
Thank you. Whatever you can.
Yeah.
I mean, you must contribute to humanity, to your society. It doesn't matter little or big.
Humanity will remember you for that. Unfortunately, they probably always remember us after we die. But, but I mean, look, I can tell you that there are people that are appreciating what you do.
Thank you.
Like I said, our common friend sent your details to me and I knew straight away that I had to meet you. I need to bring you on the program. Before we finish up, I just want to say thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for highlighting the sites of Cyprus. Keep it going.
Yeah.
If anybody has any suggestions for Oya, please send them through. You can find her on Instagram, Oya Kutsal, OyaKutsal.
Yes.
She's on Instagram.
And Facebook.
And on Facebook, of course, yes. Check these videos out. They're worth it. Even if you don't know Turkish, the visuals are great. You get to see some fascinating places. She's crazy. She's fun. She makes Cyprus look much colder than it is because she has a really big jacket. But but no, thank you so much for coming.
I look
forward to seeing more videos. And I will have you back sometime and hear about your next excursions.
This is a very interesting experience for me because for the first time in my life, I was invited by a Greek reporter to be reported. And it's very important.
No, it's my pleasure. Look, we're both Cypriots. We got to promote each other and get this island up there.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Oya.
Okay, thank you very much.
The first trilingual podcast station of Cyprus. Island Talks. Open. Diverse. Free.